This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Larry Sabato joins me on the program. He is the founder and director of the University of Virginia's Center for Politics, and we're honored to have him on the program. Larry, how are you, sir?
Great, Coy. Nice to be with you.
Absolutely. So, Larry, I have to ask you now, what do you make of this? You're watching the news just like we are. Congressman spit on, the gas line is cut, bricks going through windows, death threats. What do you make of this? Is this just is this business as usual for American politics, or is something changing?
Oh, I don't think things are changing. Anybody who thinks they're changing didn't live through the 60s and 70s. So, look, of course it's wrong. It doesn't matter whether the target's a Democratic congressman or Republican congressman. Obviously it's wrong. Those who are committing these acts are committing crimes. They should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Free speech is one thing. This is not free speech. It's assault. Now, you know, having said that, and it's awful, and let me underline that, but, you know, these are relatively isolated incidents. It's a handful of people. I always remind people there are over 300 million Americans. Let's take a very conservative estimate of the nuts in this country, right and left. Let's say it's 0.5%. Well, that's 1.5 million people. That's more than enough nuts for all the cults and the people who shoot up establishments of businesses and the ones who spit on congressmen and throw windows through political offices. Again, not to justify it. Every person who does that should be caught and prosecuted and put in jail, as far as I'm concerned. But let's not go too far. You know, the country isn't as around the bend as some of the commentary I've seen would suggest.
We're talking with Larry Sabato of the University of Virginia Center for Politics. Honored to have him on the program. And the phone lines are open for your questions for Larry Sabato. Pick up the phone, give us a call. It's 977-1070. I know he'd love to hear from you. 977-1070. The phone lines are open if you want to ask a question for Larry Sabato. So I got a question, Larry. I read an editorial recently in The Guardian, which urged the Republican Party to distance itself from the Tea Party. Is that good advice? I mean, do you think the Tea Party could hurt the Republican Party?
The best study I've seen on the Tea Party shows that Republicans can't afford to distance themselves from the Tea Party. And the reason is 88% of the people who call themselves Tea Party members or sympathizers are regular Republicans. That is, they either identify with the Republican Party or they vote Republican. Only, I think it was 4 or 5% vote Democratic and the rest are hard independents. So if 88% of them are Republicans, it's incredibly obvious that you can't split your vote and expect to win. So either the Tea Party people and the Republicans stay together in districts or states, or if they split as they did in that New York 23 special congressional election last November, the Republican nominee will lose. It's that simple.
We're talking with Larry Sabato of the University of Virginia. What do you think about the comments of Sarah Palin and using some pretty convincingly charged language against Democrats and those who supported health care legislation, now law? Are those comments like that contributing to the fur? I mean, it's her job to get up there and sort of whip up the base, right?
Well, she whips up the base. I tell you the truth, I don't know which specific comment you're referring to, but she's a plus for Republicans in that she energizes a lot of the grassroots people. She's a minus in that she defines the party in a way that doesn't help them with a general electorate. And I've kidded people that if she's supporting the ticket in 2012, it will help them considerably. If she's the nominee for president, the Republican Party platform will be the longest suicide note ever written. Or maybe, given the notes on the hand, maybe it'll be the shortest suicide note ever written. But whether it's the longest or the shortest, it's still a suicide note. And most Republicans get it. You know, they're not interested in having another 38% Goldwater-style defeat from 1964, which I think is about what you get.
Yeah. What are your comments about the the Democratic National Committee recently reached out to the RNC with what was proposed a civility document to sign that they would both agree that they would civility and condemn, you know, any of this violence. And the RNC basically shot it down and said, we don't need to sign anything. And, you know, we already believe this, but we're not going to sign anything with the Democrats.
Well, I must not be keeping up with the news because I've never heard of that. I know nothing about a civility document. I have a hard time taking it seriously because I know the people who run both parties. You can take that comment any way you wish.
We're talking with Larry Sabato at the University of Virginia Center for Politics. Larry, what are your thoughts about John McCain bringing Sarah Palin in? You know, he sort of distanced himself from her after the campaign, and you had his campaign workers saying, you know, she was dumber than we let on, and we were also disappointed behind the scenes, and yet he's, you know, bringing her in to stump for him, basically, and to get that base.
He's worried about the primary, and he should be. I think he'll win it in the end because he's running a smart campaign for a Republican primary in Arizona. And by the way, that primary isn't until August. He's got a long way to go, and he's got to be careful. If the old John McCain shows up, you know, the mavericky John McCain, who sometimes sides with Democrats, then former Congressman J.D. Hayworth could suddenly become much more of a threat than he is. I got to tell you, some of the private tracking show it closer than the public polls do, though all have had McCain ahead reasonably comfortably. The private polls less comfortable. So he knows he has a real challenge. His problem is not simply that some of the more conservative elements in the party dislike his moderate stance. It's also that there is, in addition to the anti Washington establishment feeling, which basically means anti-democratic this year since they control the presidency in both houses of Congress, there's also an anti-incumbency element to the election. And McCain's been there forever. You know, he's been there since the 80s in the House or the Senate. And we're finding, interestingly, that many of these long-term incumbents, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, are struggling a bit. You know, you've got a very conservative senator in Utah, Robert Bennett, who, if you looked at his voting record, he's really indistinguishable from, say, Jim DeMint, the very conservative senator from South Carolina. But Bennett is in real trouble for reelection for exactly one reason. The activists on the conservative Republican side in Utah think he's been there too long. Barbara Boxer is in deep trouble in heavily blue California, where normally a Democrat has a 10, 12, 15-point lead. She's either tied or slightly behind. Why? Because people seem to be tired of incumbents. Now, whether that lasts all the way to November is a separate question, but to me it's an interesting phenomenon. It's a corollary to the other trends that we're seeing in 2010.
We're talking with Larry Sabato of the University of Virginia Center for Politics, and Frank is online too. Frank, you're on with Larry. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Larry Sabato, for being on. It's always great to hear from you.
Thank you.
My question is about the recent Supreme Court decision on campaign contributions.
Yes.
And I wonder who that might better serve, or if it just simply takes politics out of the hands of the American people. And I'll take my question and answer off the air.
Thank you, Frank. Great call.
Frank, you're, of course, referring to the Citizens United decision, which disturbed a lot of people because it gives the opportunity for corporate money to be spent even more directly in politics. I tell people, and I think this is true, we won't know for sure until this fall, but I will bet you that it has less impact than people think. The reason is because there aren't many corporations who want to go answer to the shareholders for direct corporate involvement in campaigns to the extent that they are identified and the corporation is seen as running a campaign against a specific candidate. Because after all, in virtually any corporation, you have a certain number of Democrats, a certain number of Republicans, a certain number of independents. It would make for a very unpleasant shareholder meeting. I've also found that most corporations prefer to give indirectly, if at all. They have a political action committee. Most of them are quite small, amazingly small, given the size of these corporations. And by and large, they will stick to issue campaigns, referendum and initiative campaigns, they give less than you think to candidates. They will give to parties for access, but they have stayed out a lot of candidate campaigns. We'll see. You know, it's I could see the oil and gas industry getting involved, you know, one or two of those firms. I could see labor unions using this on the Democratic side. But on the whole, I'll bet it has less impact than people think it will right now. Now, whether that's true two or three election cycles from now, after people get comfortable with the new rules, that's another question. And I should also mention there is legislation pending in Congress that would change some of the rules as established by the Supreme Court. And the court ruling permits that. Legislation, rather than a constitutional amendment, could actually change some of the Citizens United decision.
Frank, thank you for the call. Great question. We got a line open at 977-1070. We are talking with Larry Sabato. He is the Robert Kent Gooch Professor of Politics at the University of Virginia, the founder and director of the University of Virginia Center for Politics. His most recent book is The Year of Obama. And before that, a must-read is A More Perfect Constitution, which I highly recommend, a fantastic book. Larry, speaking of Obama, your take on the administration thus far, health care, does it hurt the administration? Does it hurt Democrats, or will it help them?
Well, it gave Obama a shot in the arm. He did get a bump, 5 or 6 points on average when you look at all the polls taken together. And historically, that's true. When presidents get big things done, whether the big things are popular or not, they tend to get a bump. People like presidents to succeed even if they don't like what they've been successful at. Now, bumps don't last. Some of them fade in a week, some of them fade in a month. I've never seen a bump last more than 6 months. So, and we got a long time to go before the election. So I don't know that it matters that much. People have pretty dug-in positions on health care, and you're going to see that to play itself out in November. The effect obviously varies district by district and state by state, depending on the balance of opinion about health care.
We're talking with Larry Sabato. Larry, before we let you go, we'll turn a little closer to home here. Congressman Perriello running for re-election this November, a whole slew of Republicans lining up to vie for the opportunity to take him on at the polls. What's your read on the 5th District election coming up?
Well, you know, the 5th District is very polarized. Obviously, the northern part of the district is much more Democratic, the southern part of it much more Republican. Perriello was elected very, very narrowly in 2008, which was probably the best Democratic year since 1964. Now, having said that, he's worked very hard. He's gotten out there across the district. He's the incumbent now, and incumbency normally helps a candidate. I think a lot of this will depend on how the Republicans running against one another conduct themselves. If you have one or two of them becoming independent candidates in the fall and splitting the Republican vote, Perriello has a much better chance of winning. He would obviously be able to win with a plurality, assuming the independent candidate or candidates got 5, 6, 7%. So we'll see whether they can unite around a candidate, and it's by no means assured. The old saying about Democrats, remember Will Rogers, "I belong to no organized political party, I'm a Democrat," I think that equally applies now to Republicans. They fuss and fight a lot and sometimes can't unite.
Yeah.
We'll see. The other chance Perriello has to win is for him to try and duplicate to the extent possible that giant Democratic turnout that occurred in 2008. Normally in a midterm election, and you will see this in most places around the country, in a midterm election, turnout will fall 20 percentage points. And most of the people falling out of the system this year will be groups that heavily favor Democrats, including the young, including minorities. And if he can organize enough, spend enough money, organize enough, and get those people out again, the ones who voted in 2008, the Obama surge voters, then he'll have a much better chance of winning a second term.
Larry Sabato, so I guess one scenario, that just along those same lines, one scenario we could possibly see is Virginia Senator Robert Hurt winning the nomination, but then you have a Lawrence Virga, much more conservative, probably more popular with the Tea Party base than Robert Hurt might be, more of a moderate, arguably. Virga would have the money to run as an independent and go after the base that Hurt would need to win.
Yes, of course, the independent or independents, whether it's Berger or somebody else, would have to recognize that they're not going to win the nomination in time to withdraw from the primary and file as an independent. Because remember, you have to file by the close, even before, I think it's 5 p.m. on primary day, and the polls don't even close till 7. So you have to think in advance to do it, but it's possible. And remember, it doesn't even have to be somebody who's currently in the Republican primary race. It could be somebody on the outside who's been watching it, recognizing that the Republicans are splitting six ways to Sunday, and sees an opportunity to take advantage of that.
Larry Sabatow with the University of Virginia Center for Politics. The must-read books are The Year of Obama and, of course, A More Perfect Constitution. Before we hang up, Larry, do you know what book might be next, what you're working on now?
Yes, I'm doing a book with some collaborators on 2010. We do one every 2 years on the presidential or the midterm election. We're trying to compile a good record for historians 100 years from now, if for any reason they have interest in the 2010 midterm election.
Good stuff. Larry, it's always a great honor to have you on the program. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Thank you, Coy. Nice to chat with you.
There's Larry Sabatow. You can check him out online, the University of Virginia Center for Politics, and make sure you read Larry Sabatow's Crystal Ball. Pick up A More Perfect Constitution. It's a fantastic book, by the way. And, of course, his most recent book is The Year of Obama. We'll take a break here. You're listening to Charlottesville right now. This is News Radio 1070 WINA. I'm Coy Barefoot. 62 degrees at 25 past 5.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.